Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall, we should, we must rejoice and be glad in it. I am grateful, I am thankful, and I am truly blessed that the Lord woke me up this morning, that the Lord started me on my way, that I was obedient to God. Whew, and he gets the glory. This morning, I say it, I was sleeping real good. The Lord woke me up to get my show together early, like 1 o'clock, about 3:14 this morning. I finished doing what I needed to do. Then I fell back to sleep. Fell back to sleep. Was sleeping real good. And I just have to say, about 5 minutes ago, God woke me up because I was sleeping. You know how you in that deep dreaming all the way in deep, as they call it, deep sleep, some deep sleep. But God. And all I could do when I woke up was say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because I appreciate the fact that God woke me up this morning. Started me on my way. Hallelujah. Because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody didn't have an opportunity to say again, thank you, God. So I can say it and believe it and know it, that I'm grateful, that I'm thankful, and that I'm blessed to be a child of God, one that he woke up this morning, one that he got ready to do what they do for him. All I can say is thank you, God. 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 Whew, I'm so grateful this morning because people don't understand with sleep apnea. There are folks that don't wake up. There are folks that don't make it to another day. Because they quit breathing. Because they can't wake up. But God woke me up this morning. And I'm grateful. And I'm thankful. For I know that I'm blessed. And the word that God gave me was, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I say it again. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father God in heaven, I'm thankful this morning that you woke me up. I'm grateful this morning that you started me on my way, God. I'm blessed and highly favored to be offered an opportunity to do what I do for you, God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. You know, our sister Carolyn and the Hawkins singers sing, we know that tragedies are commonplace. And all kind of diseases You know, it's like the 70s have come back. But God, we know that all things come in circles, like those wheels in the middle of the wheels in Ezekiel. If we don't get it right, it can happen again. So, Father God, I ask you to please forgive me of any thoughts, words, or deeds that I may have committed. I ask forgiveness before I open this word to go forth, God. But, Lord God, I will not do what I do for you amiss with a wrong spirit. And, Lord, anyone who has done anything to me, seen and unseen, I forgive them. For I do not want to go into this word with any angst in my heart. Father God, I want to shake off any negativity, any bad dreams, anything that's not like you. I shake it off. I shake it off and give it to you, Lord God. For I want a clean heart and a right spirit within me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord, are my strength. I say it again. You, Lord, are my strength. And for the Holy Spirit, you, Lord, are my strength and my redeemer. Please, as I do, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I pray that our veterans had a great Veterans Day. I am not a Facebook person to put out, you know, all of the stuff, you know, the congrats and all of that. I don't do it, you know, the birthdays and the anniversary dates, and I've just kind of got away from that. So I did not place out there on Facebook my family. God knows who they are. You know who they are. I thank God that I had an opportunity to give them a shout out on Friday. And so I just thank God for his grace and his mercy. And I pray for our men and women, again, who are in the military, that God will guide and lead them and take them where they need to go. In the name of Jesus. Let's get started, family. And the word of God, our title word for this morning, is coming out of the 122nd Psalm. Because y'all know the 121st. We read the other day, it's like one that touches my heart. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then I get to the 122nd Psalm. And this scripture, every Sunday from the time I was a little bitty type, 4 years old, until I got married at 19 years old. And even after, because I went to the AME church until I was in my 30s, early 40s. And this word is still said every Sunday in the AME church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet standing, that's what King James says, our feet have stood within your gates, O Jerusalem. And then we add another psalm. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than stand in the tents of the wicked. And as we go back into verse 3 of the psalm, as I read it one more time, I was glad. Can you say it with me? And I pray that when you go into your church houses today, that you remember this scripture. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Come on now. It's as if this word steps out of the pages of history into today. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will not say peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your dead. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. We've got to pray. We've got to pray in our coming in. We've got to pray in our going out. We've got to pray. 123rd Psalm, verses 1 through 4. Until you, I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled within the scorn of those who are at ease with the contempt of the proud. I have just read 126 Psalm verses 1 through 10. And the 123rd Psalm, verses 1 through 4. What a mighty word of God. And I'm sorry, it was verse 9 and not 10 on the 122nd Psalm. Proverbs chapter 28, starting at verse 17. A man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit. Let no one help him. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fail. He who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fail. He who tills his hand will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not be unpunished. He who hastens to be rich will not be unpunished. Wow. We need to hasten to God, of God, and know that he is in charge of everything and that he loves us without condition. And welcome to Psalm Proverbs, but mainly New Testament Sunday family. Thank you for coming and joining me this morning. Mother Valerie will be back in the morning. She's taking some rest and listening in today. But she knows that if she decides to read, that all she's got to do is let me know, and her line will be open. She just needs to push her one, because she is number one over here besides God. She's the greatest co-host I could ever have asked God for. So I thank God for Mother Valerie, and ask you to continue keeping her in her in your prayers. I'm going to tell you, there's everywhere. People coughing and hacking and sick, and I'm grateful it's not me today, because y'all know this sister can have some moments with bronchitis. But I'm thankful that God woke me up. I'm thankful that I'm in my right mind. I'm thankful that I can read the word of God, because it means everything to me. So as the word of God says this morning, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. But it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have taken good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. We can't shame Jesus for how we treat each other. He is love, and he wants us to love. He cares about us like that. We love God, and he wants us to dwell in unity. Hallelujah. He wants us to dwell in unity. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and bears, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but intimate, those who through faith and protection inherit the promises. But when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. But men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly, promised the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Come on now. God does not lie. He is not a man. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, for refuge, to lay hands. I'm sorry, to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which in is the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And as we go to some life questions for Hebrews chapter 6, it says this, do you want to see the favor of God? I know my hand is up. I do. I want to see the favor of God bloom in my life. If you do, the writer of Hebrews has some advice for you. Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The writer has in mind someone like the Old Testament Saint Abraham, who displayed great faith and patience. Remember when God called Abraham to leave his homeland for a place unknown, Genesis 12:4. This place Abraham's diligence. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Remember when God told Abraham that he would have a son, even though his wife Sarah was already 90 years old. Can I say that again? You're going to have a child. You pushing 100, and she 90 years old. But God, come on now, can y'all say it with me? But God. God displayed his faithfulness a year later by giving Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. Remember when Abraham heard God tell him to sacrifice the son from whom he had waited 100 years. Come on. Abraham faithfully obeyed God and was blessed for his devotion. That ram in the bush. Come on now. That ram in the bush was his blessing. But he was willing to sacrifice his child to God. The God of second chances. He was willing to give up his beloved son that he waited 100 years for. And again, for those that have not been in the book of Genesis with us, we'll be in it again come January. But I say this. We wonder why Israel is having such a crazy time right now. Because of a family feud that started way back here. When God said he would have a child, Miss Sarah decided she's going to take care of this business because she was old. And so she decided to give her maid, Hagar, an Egyptian, to Abraham. And she had a child. And his name was Ishmael. He was 13 years older than Isaac. And when Hagar became pregnant, envy started to set in. Sarah started to get jealous and get angry and get mad that this young, beautiful servant was carrying her husband's child. Now understand that Ishmael was not the son of promise. But because God had given Abraham a wide blessing that said his descendants, not just Isaac, but his descendants, would be as large as the sand. And if you've ever been on a beach, you can't count the grains of sand. And so we understand that, you know, you have folks that say that if you say this or that, you are anti-Semitic. But what we forget is the Palestinians are also Semitic because they are descendants just like Israelites, just like Hebrews, that they are descendants also of Abraham. They are those pieces of sand. And this whole thing is about inheritance. This is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. But a will was left that said everything would go to Isaac. but there are still family feuding going on. There are still descendants of Esau and Jacob that are fighting over inheritance. So you got descendants of Ishmael and Isaac fighting. You got Esau and Jacob's descendants on and on and on. You have Israel fighting Judah. You have all of this stuff going on because history is a circle that repeats. You have hatred that are centuries and millennia old. And what do we have to do? We have to pray. We have to ask God to guide and to lead leaders. Because so many times, war is not about anything but folks that are rich getting richer. I looked up the word avarice the other night because I was watching something and the name of it was avarice. And I'm like, I know that word. Why do I know that word? Avarice. And when you go to Merriam-Webster Dictionary and you look up the word avarice, let me get it spelled out. Avarice. Okay, my little easy thing's not working. Avarice. It's not showing up in this dictionary, and it may be because I'm not spelling it correctly. Excuse me, I only found this word. And it says this, avarice, insatiable greed for riches, inordinate, mightily desire to gain and hoard wealth. Does that not sound like our time today? Does that not sound like folks today so insatiably greedy? They don't mind seeing people hurt. They don't mind seeing folks dying in debt. 1,200 Israelis were killed by Hamas. Over 12,000 Palestinians have been killed by Israel, many being women and children. And there are those that say, we don't need a ceasefire. Burn them to the ground. Make them rubble under your feet. Make them kick rocks. Why? Because they're avarice. Insatiably greedy for riches. Inordinate, miserly. Desire to gain and hoard wealth. Greedy. We see that all in today. And as we go back to talking about being faithful to God, we need to want God more than we want riches because God provides. We are to mirror Abraham's faithfulness in our attempts to pursue God with diligence. We need to take stock of everything we do. We cannot be avarice. Set clear goals. Olympic athletes don't begin with a vague notion of becoming an Olympian. Each step of the way requires them to work for a faster time, a higher jump, or an improved technique. What's her name? Gabrielle. I think it's Gabrielle. I'm not sure about the last name. But she is the little gymnast who is just doing the thing. This little girl has now her own technique named after her. She did something so tough and hard that folks had never seen it before in Olympic history that it became named after her, the technique that she did. And I'm like, wow. You know, you're looking, you're saying, this little girl is amazing. Have a technique named after her because she's so good. And I may not have her name right. I'm just being quite honest. Amazing. And all she did was work hard. Dominique is her name. And I know I didn't have it right. Dominique Dawes. And that was first one. But this little girl is even better than her. She is amazing. Love God. I was listening to her talking about God and how good God is and how much she loves God. You know, and I thought, what in the world is God doing? He is doing great things. And we have to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for just being who you are. An awesome and mighty God. But they work hard. They said, be patient with Pablo Cosell, which age 95, a young reporter asked him, Mr. Cosell, you are 95 and the greatest cellist that ever lived. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day? Tell us the answer, because I think I'm making progress. Hallelujah. We're willing to take risks. God asks that we trust him despite our limited understanding. As the saying goes, a turtle makes progress only when he sticks his neck out. We can't keep our head in a turtle shell. Be persistent. If God has given you a clearly defined goal and you sincerely believe it to be his will, don't let doubt or discouragement defeat you. Keep at it and don't give up. Be flexible. Remember that the process of the greatest learning experience we have learned from your mistakes and move on. Flexibility enables you to do to change as God changes you. If you want God to honor you, then be the kind of person who honors him by consistently acting on your faith. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And as we get into our next lesson, Hebrews chapter 7, I have a couple of life lessons. And it says, imitate those who through faith and persistence inherit the promises. We got to imitate folks that are doing what they're doing, and they're doing it the right way. I want to imitate my pastor because I know, I watch her, and I see her doing things that need to be done. And it says, everyone wants to enjoy the blessings of God's promises, but not everyone will. Lazy believers who exercise neither their faith nor their patience should expect to receive few or none of the benefits of God's promise. God's promises come to those that work for the Lord. Are you getting up? Are you going to work? Are you doing your job for God? Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the present. Our hope in Christ gives us a firm and solid that nothing like throws at us can ultimately move us. This hope reaches to the very throne of God himself to bring us comfort and assurance. I love the song growing up, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born in his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Whew. Serving my Savior all the day long. I can't help it. I get chills thinking about those hymns of yesterday. I love the music of the day, but we need a hymn or two every now and then. And it says, chapter 7 of Hebrews. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. I say, I believe that Jesus came in the flesh as Melchizedek, the king of peace in the time of Abraham. Just me. And then he came back through a woman. And it says, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who has the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, and there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? But the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. But he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no man has officiated at the altar. But it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet for more evidence if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. But on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the beginning in a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And the song, to the utmost Jesus saves. Jesus saves to the utmost. Hallelujah. And we got to hold to Jesus' unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Our forefathers wrote these songs for us to remember the word of God. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people. But this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. He did once for all. Jesus paid it all upon the cross for me, upon the cross for you. He paid it all. What does the Bible say? The grace of God. Grace is God's goodness and kindness to those who do not deserve it and cannot earn it. Its benefits are available to everyone each day. God causes hearts to beat. Woke up this morning. Bodies to heal and love to be given and received. And it all happens regardless of people's opinion of him. He offers forgiveness to the rebellious, freedom to sinners, and intimacy with himself. To all who trust Christ as Savior, through Jesus, he offers access to the throne of grace. That's where the Savior serves as high priest, interceding for his own. We know we can approach God confidently because there is no condemnation for those who belong to him. Romans 8 and 1. What amazing grace it was. Not always so. Israel, God's chosen people, lived under the law, not under grace. They, like us, were a disobedient people. God, in his mercy, established the sacrificial system to symbolically provide a way for them to be forgiven of their wrongdoing. Jesus gives us permanent forgiveness because he died once for all sins. Woo! Hebrews 7:27. It was humanly impossible to obey every aspect of all 613 commandments God handed down through Moses. But Jesus fulfilled the law for us, and grace makes it count on our behalf. Because our Savior sacrificed his life for us, we can approach God's throne. As the song says, oh, but I'm glad. We got to be grateful. As believers, we stand upon the immovable foundation of God's grace. It's over us like a canopy and surrounds us like a protective wall. As the truth of it penetrates our hearts and minds, we become expressions of the Lord's love, kindness, and goodness to others. And as we go to Hebrews 7:19, there is the bringing in a better hope through which we draw near to God. The law can show us God's righteous demands, but it has no power to help us comply with those demands. Our better hope, our salvation through faith in Christ, however, enables us to please God and grow close to him. Hebrews 7:21, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The priesthood of Jesus supersedes that of Aaron's line for several reasons. It has a long history dating to Abraham's day. It boasts a greater heritage since even Abraham paid it homage. It lasts forever. 7:26, such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. As our perfect high priest, Jesus knows exactly how to minister to us in the way that will most benefit us and that will best bring us to maturity in him. He makes no mistakes and always has our best interest at heart. Can you say thank you, Jesus, this morning? Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And that is our word for this morning. What a mighty and awesome God we serve. One who loves us in spite of us. One who cares about us even when we acting wrong. Don't want to do what we're supposed to do. I'm going to do me. But doing me will get you in all kind of trouble with God. We don't want to mess up our blessings. We don't want to mess up the grace of God. We want to walk in righteousness. And as we go into Hebrews chapter 8, it says, now this is the main point of this thing we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Can I say that again? Which the Lord erected and not man. But every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one who has something to offer, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. God designed it. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. But if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and the lawless deeds. I will remember no more. He's going to put in the sea of forgiveness. Praise the Lord, saints. In that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Hebrews 8:1, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. To be seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens is to occupy the most influential seat anywhere. Jesus intercedes for us with his Father as our friend, Savior, Lord, brother, and fellow heir. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 8:6. He is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. The old covenant depended upon divine words written in stone. In the new covenant, God writes his thoughts upon the hearts of his redeemed children through the ministry of Christ's living spirit. Hebrews 8:13. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete, ready to vanish away. Time, Hebrews was written. The Jerusalem temple apparently still existed in AD 70. However, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and the old system, in fact, vanished away. That's how we got rid of sacrifices of animals. The old system vanished away. And we have Jesus. Praise the Lord. We have Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And before we get out of here this morning, I do have a prayer, but we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carol. Good morning, family. Our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be and makes us new creatures in Christ. Have a spiritual Sunday. I got to read that again. We just talked about it. At the time, what is it? In that he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. And it says at this time, Hebrews were written. The Jerusalem temple apparently still existed. In AD 70, however, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and the old system, in fact, vanished away. And Sister Carolyn, who didn't read the word with us, who gave us this word at 6 something this morning, 6:32 this morning. Our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be and makes us new creatures in Christ. Have a spiritual Sunday. What used to be, animal sacrifices, unblemished this, unblemished that. Now we can go directly to the throne of grace. We can take it to the throne, and we don't have to take it to the phone, because we can go directly to Jesus, and God will handle our problems. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be there with us through ups, through downs, through thick, through thin. He will be there. And as we go into our prayer this morning, I have a couple. I actually have one. It says, you remain. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We'll get to that in Hebrews 13. The steadfast God, you are unchanging. What a comfort and a joy to know that you remain constant through the ages. Jesus, your character has never wavered in its purpose to reflect the Father's loyal love to all who pay attention. I am so grateful for kindness that is unable to be dissuaded. Your goodness won't ever let up. You have not suddenly become stingy with grace. Your mercy remains free for all who will receive it. Lord, I won't stop aligning myself to you. You are the most beautiful person I've ever known. I won't ever meet anyone who outshines you. Today, would you root me deeper in the consistency of your great affection over my life. Your love transforms me into the person you always intended me to be. I am in the process of becoming. You are my faithful companion, and I am yours forever. When all else passes away, you remain unchanged. How does God's consistency fuel your faith today? And I love this word. We read it on Friday, I believe. Life of blessings. By the God of your Father who will help you. By the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above. Genesis 49:25. And it says this, faithful Father, you are the giver of all good things. It is no mystery that you are the best gift giver. You know all in love to pour out blessings on your people. Your gifts reflect the generosity of your heart, but I'm tempted to think that I'm missing out on various things. Direct my eyes to the blessings that you have sworn into my life. Look at all that you have given me. How could I be disappointed when you have been so liberal with your love? I see you. Lord, I see where you have hidden treasures for me to find in my lineage. There is beauty in connecting the generations, even those that at first glance don't seem to draw straight lines. You love, your love is woven through. The threads are visible at certain points and hidden at others. But the strand running through is unmistakable. Thank you for blessing that reaches beyond my life, Father. And I say this morning, family, thank God for your blessings. Thank God for life. And I pray that our Heavenly Father watches between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I lift up the sick, the shut-in, the bereaved, and all of those that are just in need of Jesus. Invite someone to church today. Get your family up and say, let's go to church. Let's go serve the Lord and watch God work in your life and in their life. But God is good and his mercy endures forever and all time. Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you for paying it all for me. And that is our word this morning. We got a few minutes. If anybody just got a quick word, now is the time. If not, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Go to church. Invite somebody to church. And if your church is not Bible-believing and Bible-teaching, get your Bible and walk out and find one that is. One that is truly in the Word of God. Because God will hold us all accountable if we choose anything and anybody over him. Choose God today and watch him work in your life. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is all out. Join Mother Valerie and I tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. Love you all. Be blessed. It's truly a wrap. My second and final close.